the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Great moments in history have begun with a question.
To be or not to be, that is the question.
What came first, the chicken or the egg?
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
And what kind of hair product does Mitch Moss use? But Follow the Money wants to know.
Do you concur? Concur with me.
What, sir?
Do you concur?
All right. Yesterday was incredible. U.S. Open going on at the same time. Friend of the show, David Baker, heads up for a bracelet. $5,000 senior event. And Sean Deeb was heads up for a bracelet. Poker's more interesting than college baseball. Do you concur?
Well, this is coming on the heels of the best pitch game in the history of the sport 15 minutes ago. Are you talking about like on TV?
It used to be on every channel. And then ESPN got away from it. It would do good numbers. I always look forward to it every summer.
No,
the
I
main
can't.
Event, the other event. ESPN would have a ton of coverage, and now they went away from it.
I will say that, first of all, on TV, either one of them. You like poker on TV?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, it's a tough watch for me.
When it's edited.
Well, yeah, that of course, yes. Then it's way better. I'd say that if you're at the College World Series in person, then that would be a no-brainer that I'd take that over TV, poker on television. I just have never really gotten into it. I got to tell you, I've never really been into either one of them. I mean, it's great to be in Omaha. And again, if you go there, it's a total game changer. I'll pay attention like this week. But I never, growing up loving college sports, college baseball just never really did it for me when I was younger.
I don't know what they're doing over there. I don't know why they got away from it. It got good ratings. And with between the success of the moneymaker thing and the great stories, plus the main event always is insanity with how many people get in. I don't know what they're doing there.
Did the ratings go down? Moneymaker is also more than 20 years ago.
Yeah. But you're always going to have great stories and interest if it's done, produced right. You're always going to have wild stories, and plus the professionals, too. Those big events, they used to carry those big events, too, like the $1 million buy-in, the $500,000 buy-in, Negreanu, Ivy. But then at the same time yesterday, Deeb lost, heads up, he finished second, and David Baker gets his fourth bracelet. We'll talk to him soon. He can recap. Good for him. The Miami Heat should blow it up. Do you concur?
I think they're one of several teams that should. Like, what is their ceiling next year if they don't? Are they going to make a run for Kevin Durant?
Win 40 games? Win 38 games?
What do they give up for Kevin Durant? Because the Suns are going to want to haul in return. Mark Spears was just on ESPN, and he said Durant wants to go to the Knicks. The Knicks don't want him.
Oh.
So the top three teams are the Heat, the Spurs, and the Rockets.
The Knicks don't want him?
That's what Mark Spears just said on ESPN.
Man.
So... if that's the case, but if you're the Heat again, if you put together a package for Kevin Durant, you're still like the eighth or ninth best team in the East next year.
You're ways down.
Yeah, you can't. They have good pieces, by the way. You could get a haul for Tyler Hero. You could get a lot for Bam Adebayo.
I would trade Spoelstra to the Knicks. Yeah, you can start with that right there. Trade Spoelstra. Trade Bam. Trade everyone. You got swept in the first round. Somehow you were fortunate to come out of the play-in. You lost your last two games at home by 40.
Yeah.
Get out of here. Durant has hurt his legacy. Do you concur?
Well, explain why you think that. Is that because he wants to go to another team?
This will be his fifth team. And then also leaving OKC, which is okay. But you leave OKC, you blow a 3-1 series lead, and you join the best team record-wise in the history of the NBA.
Well, according to a lot of people, he's never going to be able to get over that part. They think that he ruined his legacy back then.
Yeah.
And that's almost 10 years ago now.
He had a chance to go to the Knicks, but he went to Brooklyn. And that blew up in everyone's face. It was a disaster. Why were you buddies and thought everything was going to be okay with Kyrie?
Did LeBron ruin his legacy as well?
No. I think he's fine.
He can do it, but Kevin Durant can't?
Do what? He didn't join a team. He didn't join the team that set the record.
Well, he went to Miami to start that whole thing.
Yeah, that was okay. I didn't have a problem with that.
No,
he didn't have to retire a cap. He also went back to Cleveland, too, and won a ring. That's incredible.
Then he goes to L.A.
What he did. Yeah.
Yeah. I think both guys. But, Paul, this is going to be commonplace moving forward. You're going to see guys with all this power do whatever they want and go play on 5, 6, 7 teams for their careers.
Did not go well in Phoenix. And now, how about his choices? His list. Miami, San Antonio, and Houston.
So
he's going to go out with a whimper.
I'll tell you what. If he goes to San Antonio, people are going to make the case to bet them next year. I will not be one of them. The only team on that list that would make sense to maybe on a future bet would be the Rockets. And that would depend on how much they would give up for the guy. But I also, like, he's one of the, top three? And I'm talking about, now, I don't care what the all-time points record is. I don't care where he ranks. I'm talking about get a guy a basketball with his ability, his dribbling, with his size. He's one of the top two or three scorers who's ever played the game of basketball. Period. So I don't know, is he a top, overall, is he a top 15 player, top 25 player? And so does he take a, does that get dinged if he goes to another team?
Why does he want to go to Minnesota? He wants nothing to do with the Timberwolves, Shams reported.
Yeah.
You have a chance to win, you go there. You've been in the conference finals the last two years.
Well, the T-Wolves, again, depending on what they would give up, they would be a contender with him.
Yeah. Yep. The Red Sox organization will continue to do this on a regular basis, year in, or I don't say year in, year out, I'll say regular basis. Do you concur? Are they going to be the Pirates now? We're just, okay, well, the guy's too good. Now we got to trade him. We don't want to pay him all this money.
And you know who they're going to be? That's a good example. I'd say they're going to be the Marlins. I cannot imagine being in that city as a Red Sox fan today.
Yeah.
I would be so livid and so pissed off after what you had to put up with, you know, before you finally won one back in 2004.
Yes.
And then I know you rattled out four of them in like a, you know, what was it, a 14-year stretch, which was, you know, and then they're winning all those rings and championships in that city anyway across every sport.
Well, they were spending.
Of course.
Though, too. Look at it. I mean, there are people who actually called this. Bill Simmons tweeted in 2022, can't wait for the Devers for prospects trade. Keep cutting those costs so you can sell the Red Sox or redirect the money for the Vegas expansion team with LeBron, guys. That's what he tweeted.
So,
you got it right, December of 22.
My answer is going to be yes, because if they did it with Mookie Betts, which is, by the way, the one trade that I would never get over as a Red Sox fan.
Uh-huh, right.
Right? If they did it with him, they did it again yesterday with Devers, you would think it's going to continue.
Do you see the similarities with Luka?
Of course you can.
I don't know. We gave him all that money. We had the body. They didn't shop him. That's another one. Why didn't you shop him?
Well, to him, Devers only wanted to play. He only wanted to hit. And anything else that comes along with being a Red Sox player, they weren't happy with. So they said, okay. I can't. The haul is just outrageous to me.
Oh, it's bad.
The Giants completely fleeced them.
Yes.
And this is where the Luka thing makes so much sense. It's completely lopsided for the deal.
Yep.
And then they just punted on the guy because he wasn't meeting their demands.
And how about the timing? You've won six in a row. You just swept the Yankees and he hit the home run.
Sure.
And he's been hot.
Again, Paulie, they went out and got Garrett Crochet in the offseason.
Yeah.
Okay. So they also were finally bringing up all their young studs, including Roman Anthony, who was like the best prospect in baseball. Now was the time to get hot. And now you have no chance, in my opinion, after that. He's one of, what is he, top 10?
Yeah.
Top 20 hitter in the game? Bye-bye.
Yep.
And you got garbage in return?
Mitch, it will be able to top an LSU tailgate. Hard to put it, do you concur that way? But do you think going to a 49er game could top what LSU could do with how they fly in? They bring in the lobster and salmon and everything?
I can't. And what we saw probably in Omaha is going to be, what, nothing compared to an LSU home football game at night?
Sure.
So that's going to be all-timer. The closest comp, I think, would be
Lambeau? But that's all brats.
Buffalo, maybe the Bills?
Okay. But I'm also talking about the experience with the what you have from a food drink standpoint and how you. I mean,
it's
the guy bringing in the gator.
He drove with the gator.
Yes.
Here to prepare and then make for a bunch of people at the tailgate that's strong dedication right there.
I know.
But overall, you could just tell that the fans were taking over the city. So. Good experience overall last week being there.
If you're into futures wagering, fantasy, just like the thrill of calling your shot, you need to check out XCUTTA, XCUTTA, the future of how we play. Like combining a live auction with the strategy of sports betting, you choose who to bet on, players, teams, golfers, even horse racing. Over 1,000 athletes and teams to choose from across every major sport. You set the terms, build your own auction, invite your friends to play. You can even start auctions for free. It's like creating your own mini book with the crew, and it's fun. Email support@xcutta.com. Mention VSiN. They'll send you a special 3-month player promo code to get started. That's XCutta. Futures wagering just got a serious upgrade. XCutta.com.
You have Sam Bennett, 30-1 to win the Conn Smythe. I grabbed a little 18-1 on him. earlier in the series. He's minus 175.
He was 220.
Did you grab anybody else? Marchand, like three games ago, was 28 or 30 to 1. He's now he's a second shot in the board, 4 to 1.
He was 85 to 1 before the series.
Yep.
This is wild. I still think Bennett's going to win it, although we'll see what happens tomorrow night. But Bennett to lead in goals, and he has scored in all the road games. It'll be close, but I think Bennett's going to win it if Florida finishes the job.
I think that Marchand, in a win tomorrow night, Marchand almost needs to have a hat trick to beat him out. I think, again, this is a playoff. This is a playoff award. It's not just for the cup.
Yep, I agree.
I think Bennett has to have a stranglehold on this.
Mm-hmm.
And so Marchand can still pull it off, maybe, but I think he has to have an all-timer. But I also would say this. I don't think Edmonton's dead yet. I think they can go there and win the game tomorrow night.
It's down to four guys, right?
I think it has to be.
And it's either Leon or McDavid if Edmonton comes back.
Yes.
Yep.
Bob's 130 to 1 right now at DraftKings.
Yeah, big drop in Bob.
That can't happen, right?
No.
Okay.
No way. No way.
And nobody like Tkachuk can do it.
No.
Barkov's not going to do it.
No.
And then forget anybody else on the Oilers as well. Who starts tomorrow night, by the way, for Edmonton?
I don't know. They haven't announced it. I'd go back to Skinner. I don't know what he's going to do. We'll ask our guest in 15 minutes what he's hearing. Tough call. Very surprised by what happened.
We will get into today's Major League Baseball card up next, and a tight leaderboard atop the most wins in June market. It's Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Holy, I have a bet on the New York Yankees at plus 550 for the most wins in Major League Baseball for the entire month of June. So that sweep at the hands of the Red Sox this past weekend, not exactly what the doctor ordered. They currently have seven, and they're three back of the Astros. Suddenly blazing hot with this Houston team, not only just in general, but now they're 4.5 up in the American League West on top of that. Then you have a bunch of teams with nine wins in June. The Giants, the Red Sox, hello Baltimore, the New York Mets, the Diamondbacks, and the Rays. And then another handful of teams at eight wins. So, hey, guess what? It's going to come down probably to the final day of this, and three or four teams might be involved yet again, as it does every single month. But I think some of these teams were massive numbers for June.
No doubt.
Baltimore had to be...
Oh, yeah. They're on pace for 106 losses.
Yeah.
And Mets just got swept at home by the Rays.
Yep.
Great action. Great sweat here.
An hour ago, we had Matt Vasgersian on the program from MLB Network. We talked about the Ohtani comeback to the mound tonight. Dodgers against the Padres. They get Dylan Cease. By the way, Cease just went against them last week. Struck out 11. Ohtani's going tonight with the opener. And Matt told us, by the way, if you missed the conversation, go back, find the Follow the Money podcast wherever you get your podcast, and you can listen to the whole conversation. But he said it's everything they've been talking about today is Ohtani and how long does he go tonight. And he told us that it's completely up to Shohei. So if he wants to push it for two full innings and maybe a third one, then whatever Shohei wants, Shohei gets, and he'll go out there and probably do that. His K prop for tonight is 1.5. Over is a little bit of plus money. But who knows?
Yep, I know.
Like with how long the guy's going
to
go.
Yep, yep. It's great to have him back. Should be a fun matchup tonight. Freeman owns Cease, hitting .462 against him. Kike hits .430 against him. And we'll see if they can bounce back after he handcuffed him in the last meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Probably too high. If the guy's only going to go a couple innings, could the Dodgers be $1.50? Although I always, Cease is so damn frustrating.
Yeah.
He's either awesome or he gets knocked out in the third inning.
Right. Maybe, because it's going to be, for the most part, it's going to be a bullpen game, but, you know, so Padres obviously very good as well, so maybe plus 135 is a highest number, high enough number to consider. Also tonight, the Angels are playing in the Yankees against the Pinstripers. Giancarlo Stanton is supposed to return tonight or tomorrow night if he's not in the lineup for this game. It's Soriano versus Schmidt. Soriano gave up one run over seven innings and had a career-high 12 Ks against the A's last Tuesday. No decision there. but he was rocked for 7 runs in 3 2/3 against Boston in his previous start. Here's the deal on him. He has not allowed a home run in his last 50-plus innings pitched. The second longest streak among starting pitchers, Blake Snell, 53-plus innings for him. But the problem is Soriano walks the ballpark, and it's 4.42 walks per nine. And I've seen some projections where he's almost touching 4 walks in this game tonight. His prop is 2.5, juice like minus 150, but I'll flip it. What about Aaron Judge minus 150 to draw a walk tonight? 1 walk. It's all he needs.
Yeah. He's in a funk.
I don't believe he drew a walk against Boston the entire weekend. So it's been a minute.
Says he got a swing at strikes. Had a bad weekend.
Yeah. So minus 150 on that. And Mike Trout missed the series against the Yankees back in May. Bone bruise at the time. In 26 career games at Yankee Stadium, his slash line is 333, 416, 657 with 7 home runs and 16 RBI. So typically Trout has shown up to play here in this spot.
I think they'd be in a foul mood after getting swept by the Red Sox. I think the Yankees will bounce back, and Schmidt's been good as well.
Yeah.
And they can touch up Soriano and get back on track. But nothing jumps out from a prop standpoint.
All right.
And who's hot in that game?
The Red Sox are playing at the Mariners.
This one is big.
One day after the Devers deal.
Yep.
It's Giolito against Gilbert.
Yep. Arozarena's hitting 445 against Giolito. Total ownage. And now, how do the Red Sox respond? 9-game road trip starts tonight. Devers led the team in home runs, RBIs, runs, and OPS. On base, excuse me. And now he's going against Gilbert and Seattle again. Just when you're buying in, they've been in a funk too. So I don't want any part of Giolito, although his home road splits are, he's much better on the road than at Fenway. But interested to see how Boston treats it now. Well, what do you think of that standpoint? We don't want him to poison the young players. That was interesting what Vasquez said.
Well, that part might make the most sense, I guess.
Bad attitude and right.
Sure.
Setting a poor example, right? Got to be a leader.
So the Red Sox, and again, another peculiar nugget to the trade and the timing of this whole thing, their starters have a 1.05 ERA during the 5-game winning streak. So strange. Giolito's walk prop tonight. Here's another one to maybe look at here. It's 2.5. He's walking 3-plus batters per nine. Jorge Polanco for the M's. He has 40 career plate appearances against Giolito and 8 walks. He is plus 150 to draw a walk tonight. Maybe something to take a peek at or consider here in this game. But I'm also curious because Gilbert's K prop is like 6.5.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to come back in his first start and just go out there? Hey, buddy, give us 90 pitches. 6-7 strong
sure,
innings?
Sure. Yeah. Don't know. Astros 24-12 since May 12th, by the way. And now you're going into Sacramento where it's been a launching pad. Total 10.5. Woo! How about the A's? They've lost 14 in a row on the road, and they sweep the Royals. That's embarrassing.
There were a ton of sweeps this weekend across the whole sport.
9. Third time it's happened at many.
Wow.
9 sweeps yesterday.
Well, and now this is a potentially pretty big ding here for the Astros at Lance McCullers, who was actually it wasn't so hot for him against the White Sox last week. He allowed 4 runs in 5 innings. He allowed 8 base runners in that time. But like the Ks per nine were up to 12. The 4 previous starts, he had a 2.21 ERA. The guy was pitching well for like about a month, give or take. And now he hit the 15-day IL earlier today. And he's hurt yet again. And that's a complete killer for them. So I think Mitch Spence is going to go. He threw 5 scoreless at Anaheim last Tuesday. No decision, 2-1 extra innings loss. But the third start, if that's going to be the guy joining the rotation, the total here tonight, again, up to 10.5 with, I think that moved a little bit after McCullers was announced out for the game. But it's a Sacramento home game, and it's going to be the same story, right, as it is almost every single game here at home. High temperatures, wind probably blowing out during blowing out throughout the game.
Should the Nationals be $2 against anybody when it's not Gore?
Probably not.
Yeah. Here we go now. Nationals, and you get swept by Miami, and now you're $2. Is Gore going? It's a 4-game set, right? So we're going to see Gore?
Gore is going Thursday.
Okay, great. After what Holmes did against this Rockies team. But the Rockies finally get a win, on pace to lose 132 games. Mentioned it earlier, worst 70-game start since 1899. And it's Palmquist now as Freeland's hurt. But Irvin, 180, 185 in that range. I don't know. I think the Rockies might get a couple here.
Well, plus, you know, for the entire month of June so far, the Nationals are last in the bigs in runs scored, on base percentage, and also slugging.
Yeah.
James Wood, who was on a tear pretty much for the entire season, his slash
has been bad.
It's been bad now for the entire month.
Yeah.
11 of 46, one home run, five RBIs, and that's it. The marquee game, the way that these two teams are playing, well, one of them, it's not Dodgers, Padres, Yankees, obviously, tonight as well, but O's, Rays. Probably third on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Both teams have nine wins so far in June.
They are hot.
As I say, the Rays have outscored opponents 143-71 in their last 24 games, and they're averaging an MLB best 6 runs per game going back to May 20th. Pitching staff in that time, 2.55 ERA, best in the majors.
I got to go against Sandy tonight. I think the Phillies get the win. He did have two good starts
two in a row here,
but consider the competition who he was going against as well. It was Rockies and it was Pirates.
Oh.
So a whole different ball game here with the Phillies.
To that note, to that point, Paulie, the Marlins have lost 8 of Sandy's last 9 starts against the Phillies. And Alcantara in those 9 contests, 0-5 with a 4.58 ERA.
Okay. Again, Freeman, 462 against Cease. Hernandez, 430. Arozarena, 445 against Giolito. And Sandy had horrible numbers this year prior to those 2 starts. So do what you want with the player props. There's some good stuff there for you. Good luck. Introducing the $500 try from GBank First Bet and VSiN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card in the first 90 days. Deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 try. You get $200 in cash back rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. And First Bet gives you a $100 deposit match. VSiN completes the try with a free subscription through August 31st. $200 value, and that's the $500 try from GBank First Bet and VSiN. Head to VSiN.com/GBank. One-time promotion limited to customers opening a new account. VSiN.com/GBank.
Up next, we'll hit the Stanley Cup Final with game number 6 going on tomorrow night as the series will go back to Florida yet again. Tom Gazzola joins the program from Edmonton. And I don't know, to me, just when you expect this series to zig and zags, and that would, I think, mean that the Oilers are going to force a Game 7. Does he agree with that? We'll find out how he's betting the game next on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Paulie, we get Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final tomorrow night. It goes back to Florida, and the Panthers have a 3-2 series lead now over the Edmonton Oilers. And in this game, obviously Florida favored back at home, as high as about $1.50 in that range anyway. And to talk about it now, we head out to the Progressive Guest Line. Tom Gazzola joins the program, Edmonton Sports Talk. And Tom, good to talk to you again. How are you today?
Doing great, guys. Thanks for having me back on. Had so much fun last time. Good to be with you, Mitch and Paulie.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So when you look at the series overall, I don't know, we've had this a couple of times already, right? The first time we had pure domination by Florida, I think people said, okay, I'm guilty. That's probably the series. Edmonton can't bounce back. What happened? They went out and won the next game. And they had to come all the way back from a 3-0 deficit. And now they were kind of embarrassed again the other night at home. I think the same thing is being said right now. It's over. They can't bounce back. Why can't they? Why can't they go to Florida and win tomorrow night?
They can. They can. They did it last year. Everybody counted them out when they're down 3-0, and they forced a game 7. Edmonton gets better in later games in every playoff series. At least they seem to. They've been pretty efficient this year, you know, taking care of Dallas and Vegas in 5. 6 for LA in the first round, but they've met their match in the Panthers, no question here. But it was interesting. Saturday, here around town, people coming in from all over the province, people coming in from all over the country. We had people up here from Florida, and the vibe was awesome. 10 a.m. lined up out the door for the bars and restaurants in the district right outside the arena, and then they get the huge letdown during the game. Edmonton was bad, you guys. Like, they showed up and were very tepid. They backed into that game. They dipped their toe in the water while Florida dove in beautifully. Like, you could use all those cliches And there was a great one that was a great saying that was used on our morning show today by one of our analysts. He said, it's almost like Edmonton, when there's a big moment happening in games and in series, seems to be watching and observing rather than going and making that moment and creating it, you know? And that's kind of what happened on Saturday. And so here we are, the Oilers being the Oilers, backing themselves into a corner. And this is usually where they wind up playing their best hockey. No excuses left tomorrow night, guys, because they need to be better. They need to be assertive. They don't have the ability to go in and be really meek in their performance like they were on Saturday.
Good thoughts. Florida struggled in this spot. You know what happened last year, as you mentioned, down 3-0. Could have closed out Toronto at home, lost in game six. Could have closed out Carolina, got shut out. So Edmonton's got a shot. But when we talked to you last time, I said, what's your level of concern with the penalties and how bad the kill's been? You said sky high. It's carried over here. What's going on with the penalty kill and taking silly penalties?
Yeah, they don't learn their lesson. And you know who's guilty of it the most is Evander Kane. I mean, there was a point earlier in the series where he actually got sat for a little bit because took two bad penalties in game three early on in the first 10 minutes, offensive zone, high stick on Brad Marchand. I mean, we could joke that Brad Marchand's 5'8", and you know, you got a big guy like Evander Kane who's 6'2", and he gets his stick up to try to finish a hit, and he catches him in the face. Great sell job by Marchand. That's how I would do it if I was playing in that game. The refs bite on it every time. And then he took a bad cross-checking penalty, goes out the next game, takes a bad early penalty as well. They need Evander Kane to be engaged. They need him to be physical. But the bad penalties early in games have really derailed the Oilers and allowed Florida to kind of get some momentum and build their game up while Edmonton has been left on the PK. And like we're talking about, their penalty kill, the Oilers, has been bad all playoffs. I mean, when you're rolling at like 65-66% on the PK for 2 months, that's not a recipe for success, you guys. And then the power play couldn't bail them out the other night as well. So concern with the special teams, if you focus in on Saturday night's game, that's going to have to turn around certainly for tomorrow night, especially the power play, but PK all playoffs long. I mean, it's just been bad, guys.
Who would you start in goal?
Stu Skinner. No hesitation.
Okay.
I know they tried to tap into the magic of Calvin Pickard and his 7-0 the other night. I don't blame Chris Knobloch for trying, but it wasn't there. And it wasn't Calvin Pickard's fault that they lost. I wouldn't put the blame on him. The team in front of him wasn't particularly great, but this is a situation where Stuart Skinner has been here before. He had to sit a couple of games in the Vancouver series last postseason, came back really strong, helped carry them to the Stanley Cup final and game seven. This year, he got sat for a bunch of games, and then when he finally got the net again, when Calvin Pickard got hurt in that Vegas series, he really did buckle it down and come out strong. So a little bit of a same scenario playing out here, and we'll see if he can take advantage, but I think Stu Skinner is the guy you go to tomorrow night.
Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Tom Gazzola, Edmonton Sports Talk, and he is on the Progressive Guest Line. So in stretches during these individual games, Edmonton has played like outstanding hockey. They had to get back in some of them and win it, right? But they have not played an A game yet. I think Florida probably has played at least one A game, if not two. So maybe that, do you think that's a fair comment? And then is Florida potentially just so good with the matchup here that Edmonton will not be capable of putting together an A game over 60 minutes?
First of all, the Florida playing their A game, taking it to the Oilers, I would stand by that 100%, no question. I mean, they've been excellent. Edmonton could come out with a better game, but I think they've been kind of conservative at times. The Oilers haven't seen McDavid or Draisaitl go and have one of those staple-type games, a legendary status-type game. It's been Brad Marchand. It's been Sam Bennett. It has been a confident Florida Panthers team, four lines from Paul Maurice, three good D pairings, and then Sergei Bobrovsky, who's probably going to be a Hall of Famer in it. That sounds like an insurmountable task, but the Oilers do have two of the best players in the world. Unfortunately, guys, those two haven't been the best players in this series. You could even make it a case for if you were ranking all 24 forwards in this series, Edmonton might have two of the top 10. And it's Draisaitl and McDavid, and the other guys would all be Panthers until you get to the lower half of that stat, and you'd say, okay, you could slot in a bunch of Oilers players there. And that's a problem. But they do have those guys, and they are two of the best, and they could take game six, and then they could force a game seven, and anything can happen in game seven. It's the magic of the NHL in game seven.
Mm-hmm. if you had a vote, and I'm just going to say it's 3-1 Florida tomorrow, Reinhardt has a goal, Tkachuk scores, who would you give the Conn Smythe to?
Ooh, and no Sam Bennett in there, right? Between those two, I think Reinhardt's been great.
No, I was just saying, okay, let me put it this way. Bennett, okay. Florida wins, Bennett and Marchand don't score, but they win the game. Who would you, I'm just saying, because they're the two favorites. Who would you give the Conn Smythe to?
Well, to me, I mean, Bennett's just been a beast. I'd actually put Reinhardt up there as well. I think he's had a sneaky good final and a good playoff. I mean, the guy's a 50-goal scorer in this league. He's an excellent player. He's named to Team Canada's Olympic team today, by the way. One of the first guys named to it. So there's no denying Sam Reinhardt, along with Sam Bennett, have been excellent. Tkachuk a little quieter. He did have that 2-goal game where he put a bit of a stamp on one of the games in this series, and he's done that with whatever's been bothering him. You know, maybe it's that groin still, but, you know, in that case, I'd go Bennett and then Reinhardt, depending on who comes to the forefront in game 6. And then if there's a game 7, it was Reinhardt last year that scored the cup winning goal too. So he has a penchant for rising to the occasion in big moments. No denying it. Mitch and Paulie, like, their big guns have been the better players. Florida's have in this series, and that's why they're on the cusp of winning another Stanley Cup here.
Totally agree. And here's another reason why I think what you said is kind of spot on. I don't necessarily agree with the odds board to win the Conn Smythe. I think there should be a bigger gap between Sam Bennett and Brad Marchand.
Yeah.
He's been an unbelievable story. He's killing it here in the Cup, but this is a playoff award. And if you look at it like that, to me, it's more lopsided than Bennett minus 220, Marchand plus 450. What do you think about that?
I'm with you on that. I know for the sake of argument and radio and TV, it's more fun when we go toe-to-toe, but I actually do agree. Like, it is a good reminder. I know in the NBA, it's the finals MVP. In hockey, it's the entirety of the postseason, and Sam Bennett has been the guy. I mean, he's having a magical season. We saw him at the Four Nations face-off with Canada. Just an absolute beast, and he's one of those guys. Like, up here in Edmonton, we've been calling the Panthers and their style like rat hockey. And Sam Bennett is at the forefront in this little rat pack, for lack of a better term. And he's got Marchand with him. And even Keith Tkachuk, Matthew Tkachuk's dad's even saying that Matthew Tkachuk has a face you want to punch. That's rat hockey. Like, that's what these guys are doing. They're so good. If you knock one down, there's another one coming out of the hole to bother you and pester you. So it fair statement. I'm with you. But these guys, they're annoying, and those are the type of hockey players that are the most frustrating to play against, and the worst part of it is they back it up with great skill, too.
Tom, like in 20 seconds here, do you have a favorite bet for tomorrow night?
Probably take the over if it's set at 6.5 again, yep. And then for some reason, call me a homer, I don't care. I'll go with the Oilers to force a 7th game, and then we get a magical weekend here in Edmonton where anything could happen. How about that?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
That'd be great. Yeah,
you can follow Tom on X at Tom Gazzola, Edmonton Sports Talk. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate the time as always.
Thanks for having me again, guys. Always a pleasure.
Good luck job. To the Oilers tomorrow night, and he was on the Progressive guest line.
Marchand has already cashed 4-plus goals in the Cup, 10-1. Bennett was plus 550.
What was 6 on Marchand?
That I don't know.
80-1?
I know you talked about it on the air. You threw it at me. Should we take 90-1, 85-1, Conn Smythe? I said
Game
no.
5 NBA Finals. Props on the MLB card coming up. Hey, Paulie. It's a small baseball card tonight, but a lot of props to go over here, and an NBA Game 5 of the finals as well. By the way, coming up in 15 minutes, VSiN's very own Zach Cohen's going to join the program. He has a very strong opinion on the game tonight. Again, that SGA prop when we were live on the air for the points scored in the game tonight dropped from 34.5. to 33.5, and that was at DraftKings. That was at least one offshore book as well. He's averaging about 32.7 points per game so far in this finals, and he had 20 entering the fourth quarter the other night, and I thought Indiana was doing a damn good job on him, and then he exploded for 15 points, like, kind of late in that fourth quarter, and, you know, the rest is history. We were on the air live in Omaha on Saturday. We couldn't believe we lost the +6 on Indiana, and also some of the calls that that he got away with really drove us nuts. And by the way, did you see what Rick Carlisle did and said yesterday to the media?
It was a heady play. It's a good job by Carter.
Exactly what it was.
Because game seven, Foster's going to be on the game.
Yep. And that's why. So for people who missed it, Carlisle came out and said, stop it with the nonsense about Scott Foster. He's one of the best to ever referee basketball games. He knew that the guy was going to be involved later on in the series.
Well, you want him on your bad side either. Ask Chris Paul. Don't want to antagonize him.
No.
And that's just for whatever reason the league thinks he's a great official. I don't get it. He's always at the center of controversy, it seems, as well.
The number on SGA is back to 34.5 at DraftKings. ESPN bet is at 33.5 on him, and that appears to be the only one on the screen so far tonight. Are you betting the three-point specialist here from Indiana to go over again, Shepard?
Yep. Over 2.5 points.
Okay.
It's just gone over that every game. Come back with that. Got to go Chet under threes. 0-0-1 last three games. Under 1.5, minus 160. And I think Halliburton points over as well. I think he's got to be take more shots and be aggressive. And I think Halliburton can go over his, should go over his points prop tonight too. But then
I believe he was 6 of 7 in the lane in the previous game.
Yeah.
To your point.
And you know the other thing that's killing him though is if you're on his point prop is the guy's one trip to the free throw line, which he finally got to the free throw line rather when he got that and one midway through game. Where are we now? Game four. Game four. So it's just crazy how he's not getting to the line, and yet the free throw merchant can push off and travel, and it's no problem. As I've talked about, it's just so difficult to get who's going to step up for Indiana and be that guy who goes over his points prop or threes or rebounds, because it's like, okay, it's Mathurin. No, it's not. Now it's going to be Toppin. Nope, he doesn't play well. Turner doesn't get much. It's just frustrating with these guys for Indiana.
No, it really is. From the Oklahoma City side, you were on Dort to begin. You off him now completely?
That scared me off the last game. Yeah, with two shots.
Back, though.
Yeah, two shots in 33 minutes and made the three early, and that was it. But he had four in the previous game and made five in game one.
I'll tell you who's having a hell of a series, and that is Alex Caruso from Oklahoma City.
Yes, he is.
Damn good. He's been one of the best players in this series. And his points prop tonight is 10.5. He does a little bit of everything, kind of stuffs the stat sheet, you know. You can bank on him for probably a couple of steals, some rebounds, throw some assists in there as well. If you wanted to look at PRA or maybe like the rebounds and assists, and definitely like with the steals in that game as well. 9.5, too many points?
Yep, too many points. It's been a close series. Indiana's a good team. The Road Warriors, they bounce back after losses. They have an excellent coach. They will bounce back. I don't think they win, but I don't think they're going to get blown out tonight.
What's the number in Game 6 back in Indiana if the Pacers win the game tonight?
Ooh.
Thunder laying 6 again?
Is it that much? Could be.
They have to have it?
Thunder in 6 is even money here behind us. So that'd be last 1994, last time NBA NHL Finals same year went 7 games. We
You're
got a chance.
Kidding.
Yeah. Can you believe that?
It's been 3 decades.
Can you believe it?
I would not have guessed that.
Yeah. So got a shot here.
Let me see. That was
Rangers Vancouver.
Christ almighty. Can I guess? Jesus, man.
I don't know the NBA one, so go ahead. Fill me in.
Now, what's the point? Wrecking ball.
Oh, come on.
Paulie the wrecking
gloomy
ball.
God, you gloomy, Gus. Come on. What are you doing taking the aisle seat, by the way? That surprised me.
No, that's a strong move.
You grabbed the aisle seat.
100% I did.
You could have had any pick. It was no one's on the flight.
Okay, so let's give some context here. We're flying back late Saturday night, right? 63 people, I believe, on the flight. You can pretty much have your own row.
Mm-hmm.
I was at this time, I think I was A38. So I took like fifth row, and I sat on the aisle. Should I sit window?
I got to have the window. I can't. I have to have the window.
But if I...
Too much commotion. People getting up to pee and beverage cart, all this. I can't have the aisle.
Here's the reason why I did it. Because if you... on a flight like that, when you know it's not going to be packed, if you take... And by the way, this is going to end it with Southwest like at the end of the month, I think. If you take the aisle seat, there's a good chance that a single other human being is going to sit next to you. They're just going to keep walking back and say, well, it's only 65 people on the flight. I'll take my own row, whatever. And then as soon as everybody's behind you and they're boarded, then I can move over to the window. That's the play for me. Now, you actually were joking and you said, you mind if I sit here? And I was going to let you. I'm like, sure.
I didn't know you recognized me. I was trying to...
Yeah. Oh, joke around?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And then somebody, there was, you know, Derek's assistant walked by and she was not in the A's, I don't think. And nobody was sitting next to me at this point. So I said, by the way, do you want to sit next to me? And she goes, okay, sure. If it's open. I'm like, of course, go ahead. I'm totally okay with allowing somebody else who I know or who I'm in the same circles with to sit then on the window. I don't have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
You could have had the seat had you wanted.
Yep.
But also, like, I like the aisle because if I have to go to the bathroom, I want to know that I don't have to have people get up.
Yeah, that's fair. Because the gal next to me, the middle was open, but the gal on the aisle fell asleep. And I'm like, I got to go. But I'd have to wake her up to go to the bathroom. And for the first time ever, Dream Water did not work.
I didn't.
And Dream Water, it wasn't their fault. Because, you know, I talked to our guy, Kelly, and he might be a caddy at Pinehurst. And he goes, well, they don't want to hire young kids now. They don't want to hire kids out of college, whatever. He goes, why not? He goes, they just stare at their phone all day. They're socially awkward. They have no social skills. Of course, I get a young kid behind me who won't shut up for a two-hour flight. Nonstop talking. Can't believe it. I couldn't fall asleep. He wouldn't stop.
No earplugs? Nothing like that?
Nothing. I couldn't believe it.
How about that?
I go, who talks during the whole flight? Why would you want to? He didn't even know the guy.
Well, talking to a stranger.
It's the whole thing. Yeah, I'm from Moraga, coming out. I go to the Giants games all the time, and it just wouldn't end.
How about this?
I doze off. I come back. The fool's still talking.
You're allowed 5 minutes to have small talk with a stranger.
Yeah.
That's the limit, I think.
God, ridiculous.
And then you cut it. Then you're on your own.
And he's watching the hockey game on his phone, and then he's doing play-by-play and everything.
Oh, that's always fun.
It's like, I can't
he's an aspiring broadcaster, I guess, the way it sounds, huh?
Yeah, couldn't catch a break.
Boy, that's a little rough.
Sorry.
He didn't have the game on Crush, did he?
No, he didn't have
hockey
that.
Game?
No.
All right.
Just throw everything at me. Throw everything at me you want.
Okay, so let me give you some guys who are red hot. Last 7 days, Fernando Tatis, 10 of 21, 3 doubles, 3 RBIs, mm-hmm. 3 stolen bases. What do you want to do with him tonight? Anything? Because it's going to be Shohei as the opener.
I want Freeman props because he owns Cease.
Okay. Jordan Westberg has been hot for mm-hmm. Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
316 in the last week, 3 home runs, double, 8 RBIs. And I think we're going to get runs in that game tonight. Steinbrenner Field going to be hot, muggy again. Yep. It's a carbon copy every single day. Winds blowing out yet again. And it's Pepio in this game going for the Rays. And the total's 8.5 here. But if you want to ride Westberg, that might be an option. Pena and Altuve. I feel like we've been talking about Jeremy Pena now for like 2.5 weeks in a row with how hot he's been. Pena in the last 7 days batting .440 with 3 doubles and 2 stolen bases. And they're taking on the A's tonight. I also think we're going to get runs in the Rockies and Nationals game. And like you said earlier, I don't think you can lay that big of a number with Washington.
Okay. More on this tomorrow. Corey Perry, shots on goal over 1.5, 3, 4, 5, 3, 2 in the series. He's still 1, 2, 3, 4. He's gone over that 7 in a row. He's still 1.5, and you got to come right back with Ekholm blocks over 1.5, which cash in the first period. That's on a 12-1 overrun. Limited time, grab our football special at the early bird rate of just $175. Full access through the Super Bowl. Tell your neighbors, tell your friends, incredible. That's our NFL betting guide, the ultimate playbook with team breakdowns, power ratings, and season-long best bets. You get the best bet email from Bill 80 every morning, every host, every guest, the betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live and on-demand shows with the VSiN Watch app, betting tools at VSiN.com, early bird special, VSiN.com/subscribe, lock it in, football special, just $175, credible. VSiN.com/subscribe, get it now.
Stellar deal. Got to take advantage of that while you can and while that deal is still out there and available. All right, so follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. A very busy Monday here after an incredible weekend of sports and sports betting. Up next, VSiN's very own Zach Cohn going to join the program. He has a strong opinion on Game 5 of the NBA Finals tonight. Find out who he likes and how he's betting it next.